Fellas, I'm holding in my hands right now one of the most gorgeous bottles of whiskey I've ever seen. 5-9 Whiskey from the crew over at Troll Co. They decided to whip up a bourbon that is all about grit and sweat. Meet 5-9. Two oil field guys figured, hey, why not turn our daily grind into something that you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made from 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about the name? Well, 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. Forget that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and the toil. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Head over to 59whiskey.com. That's F-I-V-E, 9 spelled out, whiskey.com. And use the promo code ZABECAST20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up, 5-9 Whiskey from Troll Co. It is mwah, fantastic.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.
Boy, is he strict.
Gotta get in there close and find out what's happening.
There's our ticket.
Hey, boys! Look what I got here!
Hey, where are the white women at?
Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder, Cleavon Little, a movie, I can assure you, they ain't making anymore. Feeling down and dirty, but a Mel Brooks classic, no less. You should look it up. Welcome aboard, and it is Thursday, November 14, 2024, and we are ready for week number 11 in the National Football League. The Sharps and the House got their revenge last week on the public. Will it continue? Good question. Mr. X to follow. You just knew the correction was coming at some point, right? It sure did. We'll talk about it with Mr. X in just a second. But I wanted to start with a story that it's getting a lot of attention, but I almost think it's not getting nearly enough attention somehow. And that is the Joel Embiid saga in Philadelphia. For those that might have missed it, he played bouncy ball for the first time all year on Tuesday night. That's right. He decided, okay, I'm feeling up for it. I guess I am getting paid not $63 million a year yet. Hold that thought. But I'm getting paid nearly $50 million a year. I should probably, I don't know, try to play as the Sixers limp out of the gate with a 2-7 record. So he plays in the cup game with the special crazy courts that the NBA has paid for just for these special games leading up to their in-season tournament, because that's what they do in European soccer. And wouldn't it be great for us? And oh, by the way, we've got Emirates Airlines sponsoring this whole thing. Era, we have corporate sponsors. So he plays in the game and he is absolute dog shit awful. Slow moving, easy flopping, three-pointer jacking, and a virtually no help to the team as they lose going away to a New York Knicks team led by Karl Anthony Towns and company. Okay, so here's why I think it's not getting enough heat. I had not understood fully until I looked it up that his $63 million a year extension, 3 years, 192 and change, came on top of a recent extension that pays him 47 last year, 51 million this year, and 55 million next year. So the $63 million for this guy who clearly does not want to work to stay in shape, clearly has emotional control issues because he attacked a reporter who dared question his work ethic. That $63 million number, insane, doesn't even begin until 2026. That's my head exploding thinking about it. This is a guy who didn't even play the first 2 years since being drafted third overall out of Kansas because of injuries. And now he's only playing at best in the years he does play, 50, 60 games at most. And he's due to make, at age 32 through 34, $59 million, $64 million, and then $69 million at age 34. And there's nothing that can stop that avalanche of misspent money from landing in his bank account. I went to SpotRack and I looked up his career earnings, and it had a somewhat reasonable $292 million in change. And I thought, wait a minute, that's all? Hold on a second. Let me scroll back, look back. First of all, he was paid $10 million. He paid $9 million first 2 years to not play. It is what it is. He's such a talent that when he gets his knee right, hang in there, he's going to be great. And look, he was the MVP a couple years ago. Put up numbers that were impressive a couple years ago, but never elevated his team to even the NBA Finals, much less winning a championship. And now he's a soon-to-be $69 million man. He has played 11 years total in the league. I'm sorry, 10 years total so far in the league. His current tally is that number of 290, whatever it is. But by the time it's all said and done, Joel Embiid, reporter attacking, I ain't playing no back-to-backing, lazy three-point jacking, NBA center will have made $513,976,000 and change. A half $1 billion. I mean, we have lost the plot. Now, thankfully, inside the NBA is stepping up and watching this, and guys like Shaq and Charles, knowing that they are on borrowed time themselves on that perch, are pretty much calling it down the middle, balls and strikes as it should be, and they too are just horrified at what a pile Embiid has become.
I made the comment that he's not going to win a championship until his attitude changes. And I meant what I said. Being the reigning president of the Big Man Alliance, I know what it takes to win the championship. And as a leader, you have to lead by example. When you come in and say, I'm not going to play back-to-back, to give the guys that are not really focused, it gives them time to say, well, if he's not going to play hard, I'm not going to play hard. When you come out and dominate and play, all the other guys, they can feed off you and play well. If he, like, Kenny made a great point. We've shown all these points. They had no points in the paints. And, like, me and Chuck been telling them how to make the game easy for ourselves. If you dominate, you're going to free up Maxey. You're going to free up all the other young fellas.
But you know why he does that, Shaq? You know why he shoot those threes?
Why?
So he don't have to run that much further. That's why he shoot those threes. Because.
And that's why I stand on what I said.
Because I mean, it sounds simple, but to run from under the basket on the post.
From baseline to baseline.
Baseline to baseline.
3-point line, 3-point line.
Like, he's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to shoot the three and then I can get back. That's just my personal opinion.
My question to him.
It's good theory, by the way.
How do you want to be remembered? You want to be remembered?
Oh.
But I mean, the guy.
This is it.
He averaged 30 something points last year. I now.
Yeah. On half a season.
If he is hurt, there needs to be a plan. But no. We've gone through the process. We've come out of the process, and now what are we in?
Kenny.
And so.
They've never said he was hurt. And first of all, the Sixers, I blame the Sixers for this.
Well, the league said there was a knee condition.
Okay.
And they did their investigation.
But yeah, if a guy doesn't play one preseason
I've never heard a player, a great player, say, before the season starts, I'm not going to play back-to-back.
Right.
I've never heard it. Like, and I don't, if he's hurt, don't play. But I've never heard a great player say before the season.
Because you don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know.
111-99 is your final score. By the way, points in the paint in that game, 54-30 in favor of the Knicks over the Sixers. When we come back, more from night one of the Emirates NBA Cup.
Just incredible. For perspective, once upon a time, what was considered to be the worst contract in NBA history was that of one John Konkak, C-O-N-K-A-C, a 7-footer out of SMU by way of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Nice guy, tall, could play a little bit of basketball, but not much. Played a couple seasons for the Atlanta Hawks, averaging 8 points per game, 6 points per game, a splash of rebounds, and someone decided, I love this Konkak guy. We got to sign him up. Got to give him a long-term deal. So they did. They gave him a 6-year deal for $13 million. And it was considered an outrage, a huge waste of money, a grift for a 7-foot white guy who couldn't play dead in a Western. That's all, $2 million. At least Konkak played 11 years total. He averaged 4.5 points per game and 5 rebounds per game. I don't think he ever said, I'm not playing on back-to-back nights like Embiid. Made $18 million his entire career, John Konkak. Joel Embiid is on pace to make $500 million. $1 billion. And he doesn't want to play back-to-backs. And when he does play, he looks horribly out of shape and doesn't give a shit. I'd like to think that at some point there's got to be a reckoning in the association, that there has to be a correction, that there has to be something that makes this like, yeah, we can't have this. We can't operate a league this way. People will stop coming. Advertisers will stop buying. The governors will finally have said we've had enough. There'll be a lockout that lasts 2.5 years. I keep thinking it's got to be coming, right? But from where I sit, there seems to be no end in sight. At least I talked about it here because I thought if I don't talk about it, who will? On to some other stories. This is also part of the NBA's rot. The Lakers are allowing Bronny James to only play home games when he's down with the G League club. That would be the South Bay Lakers. Per Brian Windhorst, quote, he's only going to play in South Bay Lakers home games. He's only going to be kind of a part-time G League player. And he's not getting on United Airlines to fly to those road games. I guess they have flight commercial to G League games. I know he's getting somewhat special treatment and nepotism, said Windy. That's fine. Honestly, I don't care. Well, you can say I don't care. Don't say that's fine, though. It's bullshit. And it's not kind of or somewhat special treatment. It is total special treatment. And it is naked nepotism. He said, like I said, it's normal. Now, I think it's actually detrimental to him. I don't like it. I don't know whose idea it was. But obviously, the Lakers are fine with it and they're going along with it. On this particular instance, I think that it's gone too far. And I don't think it benefits Bronny. No shit. I don't think it benefits the South Bay Lakers, and I don't think it benefits LeBron at this point. Wow. Okay, then. Lastly, before we take a quick break and get to Mr. X, Caitlin Clark is very popular. You don't need me to tell you that. She's popular with a wide swath of people, many of whom don't even watch women's basketball, college or pro. Well, Caitlin Clark was a special guest at the Annika Sorenstam LPGA Pro-Am down in Florida at the Pelican Club in Florida. She plays a little bit of golf. She's pretty good, but not great. And a throng of fans were there on the first tee to watch her tee off. I'm going to play the audio, and I'll tell you what happened if you didn't see it.
Oh. Four.
A stone-cold top, a grounder to short that luckily went over the heads of the assembled fans and did not hit anybody. Could have killed somebody if she had caught it flush and dead left like that. Mulligan ball fresh in her pocket. She's a pro. She's like, I got another one right here. Stay put. I mean, the attention is just crazy.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, there you go. You didn't kill anybody. Good, good for you. The autograph scrum for her afterwards was frankly nuts as well.
Guys, she's got to come down the rope line, okay? She's coming down the rope line. Please do not push
forward. Guys, please don't push. You got to stop pushing.
Caitlin, please. Caitlin, please. Please.
I mean, these are a lot of parents in there, I think. I would hope they're not adults who are going to keep the autograph for themselves. But please, please, please. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, it's harmless, but it's nuts. Good for her. Haven't seen anything quite this craze-like since Linsanity, but she's a way better player in the broad scheme of things than Jeremy Lin, but the affinity, the fan affinity, the Pokemon style of hype that's going on with her is truly something else. Coming up, Mr. X on week 11 in the NFL will make our picks for Thursday night football, the Commanders at the Eagles, as well as we'll untangle what he pointed out last week regarding substitution gamification by defenses in college football. It may have played a big role in BYU wiggling off the hook against Utah in Utah. That's next. You're listening to the Zabecast.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing: teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for customized, affordable life insurance. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. Head to selectquote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. Get the right life insurance for you. for less at selectquote.com/Zabe. Go to selectquote.com/Zabe today to get started. That's selectquote.com/Zabe.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
And it is an interesting decision by Utah to take that penalty, 3rd and 10, instead of 4th and maybe 2.
I don't disagree with this decision. 3rd and 10 is really tough to get against this defense.
Play clock goes down to 0. They held the line, and BYU burns another timeout. Another late offensive substitution. Utah counters with their own substitution, and BYU has one timeout left for the rest of the game.
You just get the sense that BYU is trying to do too much on offense. You've seen all these different personnel groupings come in. You know, one tight end, 3 receivers. We just saw 3 running backs on the field with 2 receivers.
And there it was, Mr. X, with some time on my hands on a Wednesday afternoon and a curiosity fueling me. I found the specific play and plays you referenced last week in the BYU-Utah game regarding the slow walk of substitutions. Yeah. I've sent you all of my researched material. I buried you in text messages today. I hope you don't mind. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. There's 2 things you can do. You can do a lot of research. You could have just trusted me.
Well, you know, trust but verify, as Kennedy once said to Khrushchev. Trust but verify. No, I was actually just curious myself, and I said, let me dig into this. And I was able to find on YouTube the entire game, because you got to find the entire game on YouTube. You can't just get a highlight or two. I wanted to see all the dead time between plays that you were talking about. And yes, for sure, BYU and their head coach, who's a great story, by the way, and doing a hell of a job there, Kalani Sitake, a Tongan American football coach who's been there since 2015 and has got BYU at a certain level. He still doesn't understand the value of timeouts. What's funny is the announcers said, boy, you know, Retzlaff hated to take that timeout there to avoid a 5-yard penalty. He knows how valuable those timeouts are. And I said, Mr. X,
but no, he doesn't.
Right. I'm like, but does he? Yeah. I'm not sure he does, because one of their timeouts, the first timeout they wasted in the second half, was on a 3rd and 13.
Yeah.
That is a non-convertible down and distance for the most part. You do not waste it on that. And it came in the first 2 minutes of the second half. Wake up!
Well, let me ask you today. Let me back up a second. Did I tip you off to that game, or is this a follow-up to what I had said on the pod last week?
Well, okay, 2 things. You mentioned on the pod last week you're seeing more and more of this.
Yeah.
Offense subs out. Defense has the right to match. Defense then lollygags it and burns the clock down to basically nothing, forcing a timeout by the offense. I was skeptical, thinking, well, couldn't you just then completely slow walk off the field and cause a automatic timeout? And the answer to that is not exactly. Not exactly. Well, I sent you this ruling 3-5-2, an approved ruling, Roman numeral 2, it says either team is subject to a delay of game foul, team B, the defense, for not completing its substitutions promptly, or team A for causing the 25-second clock to expire. Penalty 5 yards from the succeeding spot. So the referees have judgment and leeway to say the defense is lollygagging it on purpose.
Okay, and this is you're right, of course, but practice. This is just like the whole evolution of the jump off sides rule that, quote, causes an immediate reaction. And guys learned that even though you're the tackle, when the nose guard jumps off sides, you go, oh, and point at him as if he really caused your reaction.
Right.
They've learned how to fake it. So now you're right that the rule says the defense can't lollygag. But let me tell you, as a guy who watches football
too much,
yes, it is not what happens. In fact, when I was – the BYU-Utah game was the last one of the week. I think it ended at 2 in the morning.
Oh, it was wild.
And so that's why I was watching it late, because there was nothing else on. Well, plus we had a huge Utah position. But anyway, Utah has it down. And the point is, when BYU would sub into the play clock – Utah would sub out the 360-pound nose tackle.
Right.
So does he look like he's being intentional? No, he looks like a fat tub of goo trying to get off the field and taking 15 seconds. So they know you don't sub the corner. You sub the big dude who's tired, and they will never call you for, quote, lollygagging or causing it.
Right.
And you talked about there were two times BYU took the timeout. I'll bet there was two or three more they took the 5 yards.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah, so because it's happening times to them over and over. Yeah. And a couple of times they're like, and the Utah's still trying to slow walk the guy off the field. I mean, he's jogging, but they're smart enough to sub the 350-pound dude. And he's not even off the field, and the play clock expires.
Yeah.
So they didn't burn the timeouts every time. In the second half, they did burn them twice. Yeah. I'll bet they took at least two, if not three, delays. And that's why those announcers you just played were like, yeah, they're doing too much subbing. It didn't matter what position you're subbing. You're giving them a free pass to try to run you deep into the clock. And it's people are going to start to finally understand it and realize, yeah, let's do that trick.
Yeah. For the record, I have never seen a call of defensive delay a game on a substitution. No. So you're right in that. They're getting away with whatever lollygagging they're getting away with because it's not called the way it should be on the books. And I did find one fan on Vol Nation say, I think the NCAA Rules Committee will need to reevaluate on substitutions this offseason. Our fast-paced offense has taken advantage of the defense's inability to make substitutions. However, there's a problem when the offense does sub and the ref stands over the ball and allows the defense to sub. The clock is winding down. They're now slow-walking, says this fan, the field to allow the play clock to wind down. I think this requires the offense to take a timeout. It doesn't seem fair to the offense, in my opinion. So
that's right. What they're going to learn is you got to sub on offense immediately. But there's one more twist to that.
Now the other team has 10 seconds. I looked this up. The other team has 10 seconds in order to respond to your intention of the play.
Right. So you got 10 to decide, and then Tub of Goo has to waltz out on the field.
Right.
Waltz back.
Right. So starting with a full play clock of 40 on a live ball situation, it's 25 after a timeout or penalty or stoppage, then you're really talking about you got to be quick with this. And BYU is not quick. Hostile environment. They still wriggle off the hook, and their AD acted like a complete fucking baby. Now, you had a big position on Utah. Was it with the points?
I was both.
Ah.
And that was the most miraculous end, I will tell you in a second. But by the way, the other twist to this that I noticed this week and I hadn't thought of prior is it's not just the delay of game. What about when the offense has the ball 1:30 and no timeouts? And if they complete a pass and mistakenly sub, now the defense goes, we'd like to sub too, and the clock is running. Forget the play clock. It might have been the same game where it's like, okay, we're not in real hurry up mode.
Right.
So you can't sub with the ball when the clock's running. or that defense is going to eat up, you know, 20 seconds while they do their substitute of precious last-minute game time.
Yeah.
In that BYU game, by the way, on fourth down, minute to go, trailing, BYU got sacked for like the third time just inside their own one to end the game.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this. Yeah.
Oh, and the already? And then
yeah.
They called the PI.
Yeah, they called the PI. And I dealt with this in depth. I said, look,
this
is just sports happening, and an AD needs to be a fucking adult, not a 10-year-old child.
It was I didn't hear about him. I just knew it was a touch foul, and the game was over. And then, of course, they go 99.5 to win the game and beat me, but
it wasn't 99.5. They kicked a field goal to win it, but yes, they still won it. Okay. And the AD for Utah was super pissed. I said, look, it was a close call. It was a close call either way. I would not have called it if I was the ref, but it was definitely handsy. I think Whittingham screwed up for Utah by not coaching his players to not touch. He should have said, allow free release. We're not going to get penalized on this because we're about to win the game. We're swarming their quarterback. We're about to win the game.
Exactly.
By the way, you mentioned about, you know, last second field goals. There is another ruling. This would be ruling 7, Roman numeral 7. So this rule 3-5-2 about substitutions in the clock. But there are 7 different sub rulings on, okay, what if this? Here's your Roman numeral 7. Ready? A pass play on third down ends in bounds for a team with no timeouts. Short of the line to game, but with a game clock showing 10 seconds. Facing fourth down and 3, Team A, the offense, immediately hurries its field goal team onto the field. Ruling, Team B should reasonably expect that Team A will attempt a field goal. Therefore, the umpire shall not stand over the ball, as there should be no issue of the defense being uncertain about the next play. So trust me, they have envisioned that scenario as well.
Yeah. Well, it's in writing. I'll just tell you, effectively, it hasn't really happened yet because you don't have to be a Hollywood actor to fake that you're trying to get on and off the field and taking 20 seconds.
The bigger problem is the faking of injuries. The faking of injuries has gotten so bad, and so many coaches and media people have called it out saying, this is not sports that's going on here. I believe one of the leagues, it might have been the SEC, said we're announcing new fines for coaches that do this stuff, that just point at a player and say, go down on the ground. So we need to clean this up. But anyway, so there you go. It's not that I doubted you. I wanted to know more, and now I do. Now I know more. Now I know so much about Rule 3-5-2, I wish I had spent that time more productively, like looking up porn or something. Okay, let's change.
Well, now you're going to see it over and over now that's in your head, and they'll have to adjust it. I also felt greatly vindicated. I think it was Monday Night Football that Gene Steratore was doing.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Monday Night. It was the Commanders game. I mean, I've told you how I feel like, you know, Terry McCauley is like, what'd you see there, Terry? Ah, they're going to overturn that. Or, you know, he just goes right to what he thinks the ruling should be. Steratore, my God.
I know. Steratore's bad.
He talks forever about nothing. On the last play of the Commanders game, the Earth catch that was inches short on fourth down, they cut to Gene and he says, well, what they're trying to figure out there is after he caught the ball and he was down, did he get up and did he get past the line to gain? Thanks, Gene. We know what they're trying to figure out. How about weighing in on is it a first down or not a first down? Instead, he just talks and says they're looking to figure out what happened. Thanks, Gene.
Yeah. There's a whole series of Gene Steratore memes now in which they reference this fact that he never actually takes a side. It just
nothing.
He says something tangential and non-essential to the actual job at hand. And that's too bad because he was my favorite ref. And I thought he was the best ref the league had.
Yeah.
But he's not good
he
on TV,
on
that's
Nickelodeon.
For sure. Yeah,
he belongs on Nickelodeon trying to explain what the rule is instead of give us an opinion.
All right. The the revenge of the house this week. The dogs had a party. The unders had a party. And the three-week run by the public and Johnny Square play came crashing down in week number 10.
It did. It did. Knew that was coming. It's a shame I didn't really take advantage of it like we should have.
Well, but you had to wonder, what is this the week? Like, how long does this warm spell of weather last, right?
Of course. I don't know. I ask you, anecdotally, why is it that the public has done well? Is it just random luck? What? I actually think, I have no data here, but I feel like, just off the top of my head, each week when I look at NFL spreads this year, until recently, the numbers are just -1, -2, -2.5. It's like you don't find touchdown dogs anymore. And it's certainly a lot easier to talk about upsets when they're all catching two.
True. I would like to know what the average high-end spread is this year in the NFL. It has to be one of the lowest average high-end spreads. So in other words, take the four highest spreads on the board every week as a indicator, right? The four highest spreads, average them out, and show me the season-long trend, and then compare that year over year over year. I don't think it's ever been this way. Now, it's going to get really bad down the stretch because the league is sorting itself out into oil and water, where there's a ton of dog shit teams, there's a handful of good teams, and no single super team, even though the Chiefs are undefeated. But we'll have to see about that. By the way, the favorites went 3-11 last week.
3-11.
How'd they win the three? It's a miracle. And six of the 11 dogs won outright. The overs went 4-10. Woof. Yep. Revenge of the under. And the public went 3-2, according to your definition of the public.
But like similar to that, of those six dogs that, quote, upset outright, four of them were 1.5, 2.5 spreads. They were all four little ones. The Patriots and Panthers won touchdown dog games, but the other four were little bitty ones once again. Just maybe I'm wrong, but it sure seems like there's a more 1 and 2 point spreads than I ever remember.
So you ask, why do the experts suck? I have a theory on that, and it's simply that the NFL itself, as a league, with the point spread, is one of the more perfect chaos machines that exists in society. In other words, it is so utterly random that never before has been so many hours, time, effort, algorithms, strategies, theories, research, experts, hunches, people, you, me, everyone else. We've poured our life into deciphering what's going to happen on Sundays against the spread, and it just never deviates from basically even Steven 50-50 chaos week to week.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I guess let's put it this way. I follow a lot. I'm a read everything guy. Okay. A lot of the big names that I won't get into now, I don't care who it is. All the people who historically are, quote, the sharp sides, the smart sides, I read everything, you know, and all of them suck this year. None of the so-called good ones are doing anything. I had a guy actually write me, because we had a bad Sunday, 0-2 on the big picks. And a guy wrote me and said, you know, your two stars absolutely suck, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you had the Jets. You had the Jets as a two-star.
Oh, my two stars both were over about a minute and a half into each game. The Jets and the Cowboys. I mean, how bad can you be? And he wasn't wrong. Those two suck. But I got to thinking about it, of course, and I went back and I looked at the chart. And for the year, the two stars are 9-8. And all I could think of was, with all the experts that I read every week, most of them would love 9-8 right about now.
Yeah, I know. Well, just as an anecdote.
Not that that's good. It's not. But
for companies that need to generate a truly random number, they don't rely on a computer to create a, quote, random number, because a computer cannot create a truly random number. It requires a human to program in some sort of secondary program to, quote, find a random number. What they do to create a truly random number is they have a wall of lava lamps, and they have a high definition camera take pictures of the lava lamps at defined intervals, and they measure based on the blobs that are floating up in the lava lamps to create the number. Because the lava lamps blurping up their lava thing, whatever's inside of it, is a truly random thing, and they have a wall of them to even further randomize what's going on. The wall of lava lamps, yeah, the wall of lava lamps and the NFL, they're the same thing. I'm pretty
convinced.
Can't
you just get a deck of cards? I mean, I don't care. Okay.
I'm not a math expert, but I did see that thing of lava lamps. Okay, let's press on here with other stories. Okay. This new phenomenon of in-game odds and percentages. In other words, the win percentage at any stage of the game.
Yeah.
So that when a game comes back from the brink of 99 point whatever percent win percentage on a crazy fluke play, people get to go, oh, wow, look at this chart. Did you see what the odds were? And it's a dumb thing because that number is generated from the database of other games that had ended up, say, Team A up by 15 with 36 seconds to go. Of course there's going to be a massive number of wins on one side. It's not anything special, but people get fooled by graphics and pseudoscience. And so they see the graph and they go, wow, I can't believe a team up 15 with 36 seconds was down to a tenth of a percent chance to win. Why does that surprise you? They were dead.
Well, yeah. What gets me about it is, look, I get math. I can do math. But now that they're posting these constantly, I look at the numbers and go, wow, I wish I could bet that bullshit.
So you think sometimes these numbers are not right?
Well, let's put it this way. You know, many years ago, okay, little kids, they used to only pick two teams to play in the championship of college football. There was no playoff, and they had to pick them. And we used to say, you want to know the two best? Just ask Vegas. It's their job. They know who's better than who. Now, it's a similar thing here, okay? When you do in-game odds, Team A scores the first touchdown, goes up 7-0. Okay, the in-game odds don't change a ton because they know they can't just suddenly make that team a humongous favorite and let everyone bet the dog after they haven't touched the ball yet. But you watch the in-game odds, and they swing horrifically, and every game is like – they put it up, and I'm like, why is it 85% chance they're going to win now? It's bullshit number. But I guess what I'm saying is Vegas understands how to adjust the live line.
Well, okay.
But these metrics that are putting it up on the screen, they act like every 2 minutes the team trailing has no prayer, and I don't know how they're getting those numbers because, as you know, teams come back.
I know. Well, they're getting those numbers from a past database that matches the exact time, score, and metrics. They're not just eyeballing them. But here's the thing. What do they say about stocks? Past performance is not a guarantee of future success. So, of course, even if a team historically has a 99.2% chance of winning up 15 with 36 to go, they're not going to let you bet the other side of it because they don't want to be exposed because there could be a blurp of two or three games in a row in which that happens. And then the next 50 years, it never happens again. And therefore, the number is true over the long run, but they get their asses handed to them in the short run. So they're not going to let you bet that number. Although I agree, it's tempting at times to go, yeah, you know what? I'd take a flyer on those odds.
I guess my thought is just intuitively, having bet live lines for many years, when I see them tell me that Team A has got an 80% chance of winning, I look at it and go, no, they don't. This team with the ball has a very good chance to score and win this game on the last drive. Don't tell me it only happens 20% of the time. I just feel like you tell me where they're coming, I get it.
Right.
I don't think they're accurate worth a darn.
Yeah, well, win probs are definitely not live wagering. They're different animals. Win probs are pretty much marketing artifacts based on database sets of what has happened in the past. They are not for wagering on.
Sure. But if they were the true odds, they should be. I feel like I don't know how.
Well, there's true odds.
I think they're bad.
Well, maybe if there was, maybe they are hand manipulating some of these odds. It was my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong. It was my understanding. Someone explained to me that the odds, the win prob odds, are database driven.
Yeah, probably.
So they're not hand eyeballing. Lakers have this one in the bag. I don't think that the Spurs can come back at this point. You know, they're not eyeballing it. It's all based on what things have happened before. X number of minutes,
sure.
Home team equals this advantage, blah, 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 this, blah,
and
blah,
you know what?
Blah, that.
I think that's probably true. And maybe when you're watching it, it matters to me if down six is Bryce Young or Josh Allen.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, don't care about the database. I care
no, you're
about
right.
Who's on the field.
Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. The win prob as a database number does not account for the human element of, did Bryce Young get blown up on the last play and now his arm is hanging on by a thread?
Or is he just going to play like Bryce Young?
Or is he? Right.
Either way, it's the same thing.
Have you? Right. The win prob doesn't have the ability to say, have you seen Daniel Jones? Really?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what's tainting it to me.
A couple pieces of news. Well, at least one piece of news that broke today in the NFL. Anthony Richardson's back at quarterback this week for the Colts. This after Shane Steichen said confidently, Joe Flacco's now our starter for the rest of the season. Well, a couple losses later, he's like, okay, never mind. You know it's the owner telling him, what the fuck are you doing? We got a young quarterback. The season's probably lost. Put him back in there, asshole. And he complied because he wants to keep his job.
Well, I would say kind of, but they're one game out of the playoffs as we speak.
I know. They're not totally out of it, but it's a case of we're going to take a zero on our prospect quarterback because he played, what, two games and then blew up his shoulder last year? He played two games, blew up his shoulder. They got no look at him last year. They got a tiny look this year. They were kind of horrified at some of what they were seeing and wanted to save the season. The season has not been fully saved like they thought it would be. And the owner's probably saying, we got to look at this guy. These are live fire games. Yeah. Put him back in, dummy.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think it's more a case of you believe in your team. You're 4-6. You're trying to catch the Broncos. You're not trying to catch the Chiefs. You're trying to catch the Broncos. And guess what? You don't put in a quarterback and say, well, for now, you always have to 100% support everybody, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Watch Joe Flacco last game, and you say, yeah, no. He was terrible. Yeah. It was really surprising how bad he was. Yeah. I was watching that game thinking, you absolutely have to go back to Richardson. I mean, he can screw up and run around and on a broken play and be better than Flacco ever was last week.
My prediction is that Richardson will be back in at starter, and he'll play well at times, but he will play kind of like he has so far, and they'll miss the playoffs going away. But at least they'll have changed back to their prospect, and they'll see how he does. Daniel Jones has not yet been officially benched for the Giants, but he is so totally going to be benched at some point. He was so bad in Germany. If you watched that game, which I'm sure you did, he stunk ass. And they don't really have an ace in their back pocket. They got Drew Locke, who also certifiably stinks. And, of course, Tommy Meatballs, Tommy DeVito, who was the sensation last year for them. But they're so done with Daniel Jones. I think they're going to try to force him out. Like someone said they're going to put him on the Russell Wilson plan, where they're going to just force him to beg his way out to forfeit guaranteed money just to get traded.
Well, I'm not sure he's wrong. X2 said to me probably 3 weeks ago, if it wasn't for the Commanders, Jones would have been out of the league like 3 years ago, because he always seems to play well versus the Commanders, and then they go, yeah, maybe he's not horrible. You take out his Commanders games, and he'd have been gone before now.
Yeah. There is a potential out on his deal. His deal goes through 2026. He's making $35 million this year, which is cheaper than most QB1s. But he's also a lot worse than most QB1s. And he's due to make 30 next year and 46 the year after that. So they're gonna get out of the business one way or the other. And it looks like they're going to make a change at quarterback this
week. I've always wanted to suck at my job for $35 million.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I just before you came on, I went through the Joel Embiid contract, and I said, why aren't enough people screaming at the top of their lungs about this being the most insane contract in the history of sports? Embiid's going to make $500 million guaranteed by the time his career is over. And he is a dead man stumbling around in the court, overweight, bad knees, and a worse attitude.
And why? He needs load management. No back-to-back.
Right. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's press ahead with our picks for this week and any other gambling items you want to put in there. You had an item for punching, question mark? Punching?
Well, is it just me? Does it bother you at all? A week and a half ago, what's his name? Nacua got ejected.
Yeah, for a punch.
If there was ever a punch I would not have minded receiving, it was that soft little flap to the side of the helmet.
Right.
Punching a guy in the helmet, just a little bitch slap, it's got to hurt his hand way more than the dude who he hit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he's automatically ejected. And then I watched the game the other night. I think it was a Sunday night game. Dude, standing toe-to-toe, O-line, D-line, massive headbutt. And they give him the flag. And I'm thinking, I understand you can't punch, but seriously, is that a big deal? And yet, I don't want a guy headbutting the crap out of me. He could have really hurt me.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. And now, every guy who's running with the ball, they're throwing punches. And they just say, well, I was aiming for the ball. And I'm like, yeah, but you punched me. There was a game, I think it was the Bills game, in one of those piles, moving the pile, Josh Allen.
Right.
And this one dude comes flying over the top. And he's just throwing haymakers. I mean, I think he threw like 3-4 punches. And none of them were close to the ball.
Listen.
And as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, I'm going for the ball. They always say, oh, he was trying. I don't care what you were trying to do. I kind of care what you actually did. You just threw 4 punches that landed anywhere but near the football. And just like when they say, oh, well, he was going for the ball. Yes, but you committed PI. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do.
Right.
Why are they allowing these guys to just wail and miss? It seems like if you hit the ball, good for you. If you miss, it seems like a punch.
Yeah, I agree.
No?
Yeah,
okay.
I agree. All right, Thursday night football, we got a good one. Washington at Philly, and the Commanders are catching 3.5 points as a live road dog in the city of brotherly hate. It's going to be hard for me to lay off of Washington. But before we get into that game, last week I picked the Bengals. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner.
Climbed back to 5-5 on Thursday nights. Hey, how about that? You had the Ravens, so you dropped to 7-3. Still a crisp winning record there. My over hit, I'm now 4-5-1. And you lost the over going 6-3-1. Your prop also missed. You're 4-6 on the year, and your prop has dropped 5 in a row.
Yes, it has.
Okay. Any retro thoughts on the Bengal-Raven game last week? It was a really good one. And, of course, the end of the game ended with Al Michaels begging for a phone call or email from the league office, pretty much shitting on the NFL's product, going, why do games end this way with obvious penalties that are not called?
Yeah. Well,
that was bad. That was bad last week. Like, the fact that they just didn't throw those flags made you say, really? Is this how it's going to go?
Yeah.
Okay. The game itself.
We had one, I think, I can't remember if you sent it to me or something. We had one emailer last week that basically said, because last week you asked me about how the game went, and I said, well, we both won with the Jets, but off the top of my head, I couldn't remember who they played. So they sent us a note and said, use Excel, make a spreadsheet, track your picks.
Yeah.
the point is, I do track the picks. I do have your record, my record. I don't always, off the top of my head, I was like, okay, who did the Jets play? I don't need Excel for that, but okay. So it was the Bengals and the Ravens.
You do kind of need Excel because you say, I've got it in my head. And then when we went to our heads to remember, our heads said, I don't know.
Well, I guess my point is I want to know the wins and the losses. Once the game's over, if I don't remember the team, it doesn't change the bank account.
So you don't keep a spreadsheet?
Of the win or the loss. But, for example, when I have down here Jets -2 winner, and you say, who'd they play? And I go, that was like 15 games ago. Who did they play? That's what I forgot.
See, that's interesting. I would have thought you would have had a full spreadsheet and you check it frequently to go, hold on a second. I have now taken the Jets five times this year and I'm 0-5. How about I lay off these assholes? Like, that's what I would do if I was serious about it.
Yeah, in the famous words of Homer Simpson, you would think that.
You would think that, right. But honestly, whether the Jets have lost five, your only five bets you've played them on, whether favorites or underdogs, has no bearing on the game involving the Jets.
I'm like that star cornerback who just got beat for four deep touchdowns. You got to put it behind you. Go on to the next play.
Put it behind you. Go on to the next play. Okay, Washington at Philly.
Yeah.
Tough last-second loss for Washington. They had a lineman jump off sides that could have given them one more shot at a game-winning field goal. They had a fourth-down pass to Ertz that was stopped right at or short of the line to gain. I think it was a good call. They looked at it, and they were like, yep, he's short by like a half a football, basically. And that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
I am totally and thoroughly unimpressed with Philadelphia. And they had a bye week last week at Dallas. The Cowboys are a complete wreck. This rivalry still burns pretty hot between the two teams, even though they're pros and they don't buy into the rivalry hype as much as us fans do. I think the Commanders got something for Philly on Thursday night. I'm taking them as a live dog plus 3.5.
Yeah, the so-called rivalries, I think these days, are just with the fans. None of them are throwing wreaths into the other team's locker rooms like they used to.
Harvey Martin for the Cowboys threw a wreath into the Redskins locker room back in the 70s
They knocked them out of the playoffs. Yeah, I agree with you in the simple sense of I'm a little concerned that Philly's getting a bit overrated. Maybe I'm off them. General rule in the NFL, you give me the hook 3.5, and I'm going to take it way more than I ever dare lay it. So I'll take the Commanders as well.
Philly is the most running team in the NFL. Their run-pass ratio, they only throw the ball 44% of the time. That's number one. They run a ton of stuff with Hurts because he really isn't yet still, if ever, going to be a refined passer. And the Commanders' run defense has not been great, but their pass defense got burned. Last week, they had several plays in which one of their DBs just was roasted by the fans because he didn't make the right play on it. But I think they'll be able to hang in there, and I just think Terry McLaurin is an Eagle killer. I'll never forget first game for McLaurin as a Redskin. Third-round pick out of Ohio State. He was kind of a forgotten man, played more specials and got fewer looks in the regular offense with the Buckeyes, and he just tore the lid off Philly in that week one opener, first game as a rookie, and it was like, holy shit, this guy is good. I am so happy for him because I think he's a good dude and a solid pro who's had shit quarterbacks his whole career. He's now hooking up more and more with Daniels. Daniels loves him, trusts him, and I think he's got something for the Eagles, so I think that connection could be a factor.
The dude makes more good catches for an unknown receiver.
Totally. Totally.
Than anybody.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you call him unknown, but for, let's just put it
under the radar. Underhyped.
Yeah, sure.
Underhyped would be how I would call it.
He is and isn't the story that when you talked about kind of under the radar at Ohio State, wasn't the whole point that, as I recall, that when they were desperately scouting Haskins, they just kind of crossed McCollum at call it, Pro Day or whatever.
Hey, this guy might be pretty good here.
Yeah.
It was a 2-for-1 deal. Well, who do you like? And by the way, what's the total? I need to take the under at some point, so I'm going to take the under sight unseen. Give
there
me the
go.
Under.
The total is 48.5, so for the same reason, I'll go with you under. That's a big hook. I'll go under 48.5. And, you know, when it comes to the Commanders, I don't know, Zay, maybe this is old news to you because I don't follow internet things. But, you know, one of my sons has season tickets now, and he called after years of pain, and he calls it PTSD with the Commanders.
Yeah.
It's called post-traumatic Snyder.
Disorder?
Disorder.
Post-traumatic Snyder disorder.
Which means as soon as things look great, you say, what the hell's about to happen wrong? that's the Snyder disorder. He's got us thinking, okay, what's going to go wrong next?
That's no way to go through life. Tell but your I'll, son, yeah. tell your, which X is this?
That's two. He's
X two. X two. Buck up. Come on, well, man. The bad man is gone. The bad man is floating on a stupid fucking yacht somewhere where nobody gives a shit about him. The wicked witch is gone and dead. No, there's no carryover. It's done.
I know, but it takes a while to get rid of it, Dave. Takes a while.
Look, you lost by a hair to a really good team and a good defense, having lost several linemen along the way. It happens, sure. Man, with a rookie quarterback. That was a tough loss. That was not in any way, shape, or form a bad loss, or shouldn't be a traumatizing loss either. So
that was a good loss, if there is such a thing. But by the way, isn't and I gotta find this out before tomorrow night's game. But isn't Latimer going to make his debut also? That's a big deal for Washington.
He should be making his debut. Which should help. Yes.
Yeah. Which is why my prop is I'm going to go over on Devonta Smith's catches. Because I think he'll probably lock up with A.J. Brown, and they'll probably look to the other side.
Okay. Over on catches for Devontae
Smith.
And
if I didn't make it clear, I'm with you on both. I'm also with the Commanders and the under.
Okay. Well, thoughts and prayers that you're on my side. I feel your pain. No change in the standings after this week for you and I on Thursday Night Football. What is the total catches for Devontae Smith?
Uh-oh. Three and a half.
Okay. All right. That said, you can find more of Mr. X on his website, callmemrx.com. You can be a subscriber to his services and pick his brain or cheat on his paper, as he likes to say. Here's what he's playing, and you can do whatever you think is prudent and reasonable. As always, bet with your head, not over it, and winning is nice, but getting paid is even nicer. We are entering a football stretch, Mr. X, as college football comes to a boil, and then the 12-team playoff that is going to be bonkers.
Yes, it is.
Good.
these Saturdays, though, that start at between 11 and 12, and they're now ending, I don't know why it is, but whatever is the last game of the night has to go 4-plus hours to keep me up till 2:15.
What, like you got anywhere to be on Sunday? You got to be right back at your couch watching more football. You'll live. Man, and we're done with the international game, so no more waking up to see the 9:30 game.
There we go. That sounds like a plan.
All right, Mr. X, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, thanks. See ya.
All right. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you tomorrow for you subscribers. That's right, Premium Edition, Fridays with Scott and Solly. And you are looking live. Let's go. Week 11 is here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.